Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine with my information from my point of view about the entry of the planet Pluto into the sign of Aquarius. And I think it deserves its own little podcast here, especially as it falls in the week that includes the spring equinox, the new moon in Aries, and Mars entering Cancer. So Pluto enters Aquarius on Thursday the 23rd at 8:13 a.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And it is going to give us this taste of Aquarius for relatively short while before it actually goes in for the 22-year transit. It's a lot of years, but we've been with Pluto in Capricorn since 2008. That, you know, is quite a long time as well, but it is a slow-moving planet, and that's what happens with Pluto. Pluto is the god of the underworld, first of all, and that's very important to understand because people are already very busy telling you what we're going to see happening with Pluto in Aquarius. And what's interesting is that I was taught many years ago that Pluto's work is carried on unseen until the effect of it comes out. So the example that my teacher used was something rusting away that you couldn't see. The rust was sort of internal or something, and then suddenly it breaks, you know, and then you see, ah, look, it's been rusting away all this time. That is the work of Pluto. So to imagine that we can be absolutely sure of what we're going to see when Pluto goes into Aquarius is kind of the antithesis of Pluto. It is what we have with all the other planets, and particularly Mars, who this particular astrologer can't wait for Mars to get out of Gemini. And it's been in there much too long. But we can honestly predict how that is going to shift our energy, you know, our focus of our desires and our passions, because those are direct and right in the world, you see. But Pluto, oh, much more subtle than that. Because otherwise, ruler of Scorpio, how could he manipulate so well? If everybody saw the hand that he's playing in the game, you know, how could he get them all to put in all those chips? I'm going to tell you some things about it, though. I will tell you. Because when Pluto went into Capricorn, I knew that just from the nature of what I told you now, that Pluto was going to bring the underworld into corporations and government. That you can say. And that's because of the nature of the planet itself. So in 2008, we may not have actually seen it as much or as clearly operating as we began to see it later. When, you know, we could be, some of us could be pretty sure that there was a lot of this energy going on, literal underworld energy. And people began having a lot of suspicions and concerns about what was really going on beneath the surface of lots of governmental situations, and not just here, you know. So that you could say, but the effect, how it was going to look, is a little bit less clear. All right, so we start out with knowing that the Lord of the Underworld is going into the sign now of Aquarius, which which is many things. One of the things it is the group as a whole. So, you know, any group is a whole, or the group of all of us as humans as a whole. And so we know that Pluto has the desire to transform, and this can be for better or for worse, let's say. You know, some things need to be broken down so that new things can grow. So the time of year that's associated with Scorpio and Pluto-ruled energy is what happens when we get into late October in the Northern Hemisphere, and things start to look like they're transforming and they're not like they used to be, like leaves, let's say, for instance. But they are actually transforming into a substance that is being used, except for the fact that we sweep them up and burn them and throw them away, by nature. I mean, the tree would be using the nutrients that are now in the leaf instead of the photosynthesis of the leaf to be nurtured. So some transformation can be good. I mean, this is exactly what the tree needs. That life is going underground. Things are transforming underground. And that's okay. You know, so it isn't that this is always bad. It's not that at all. I mean, you know, we've transformed a lot during our lives. Hopefully. Well, we were once very tiny and now we're big. We also go through the period of changing, transforming, in all kinds of ways. So the issue is not completely negative, but when it is negative, it is the manipulation and control of others by those for their own ends and purposes. Yeah. One of the things Pluto is about is great wealth, you know. And a lot of that is hidden now in private accounts, you know, which is very Plutonic indeed. So this is something, you know, as we come through the Capricorn cycle that we see. Also, Pluto is, again, a very powerful energy. You know, it is considered the most powerful of the energies of the planets so far, at least. And what we're seeing is an ascension of people during the Pluto and Capricorn years who were once more looking at the notion of absolute power, you know, being a dictator again. No matter how many dictators have fallen before them, theirs would, of course, be the one that succeeds in their mind. Because why? Because Pluto is also a planet of obsession. Yes, it's one of the words that very few astrologers use anymore relating to Pluto. And where Pluto is in your own birth chart is a place where you may obsess about things. And this is just the nature of the kind of energy that is hidden and needs to work in that way profoundly, but without showing itself. You know, because one of the things I always say about the water signs is that they are very vulnerable. You know, water cannot resist action upon it. You know, put some drops into water, it can't say, wait a minute, I don't want those drops in here. The only time it can resist something is when it's frozen solid. And frozen solid is something that Pluto also does with things. Pluto is the planet that reacts to your trauma by burying it so you can keep going and nobody sees it. You know, because if people see that trauma, then you're vulnerable. Yeah. So Pluto is when the time during which water starts to freeze also, yeah, in the outer world. And it can still be freezing during the Pisces water, but it begins the process. So there's so many facets to this planet, and all of them can now be applied to the sign of Aquarius. That is not just ruling the group or the group of people, but it is ruling the electronic realm. As an air sign, now, Pluto is in the realm of the unseen in terms of the mental realm. I bet some of you have already made some sort of a prediction based on what I just said, and that's how astrology works. When you know the principles and you put them together, that's when you have an understanding of something. So, all right, so air, mental, unseen, but also with Aquarius as different than either Gemini or Libra, you are actually in the realm of the unseen energies that come to us, the prana, the chi. Okay? I mean, even electricity is not visible except when it's doing something, right? And so also things like our meridians that are channeling. I had a friend in Florida who was a massage therapist and couldn't believe in acupuncture because you couldn't see the meridians. You couldn't dissect the body and see them. So they couldn't be there. Very pragmatic, very earthy person. And yet, we are alive with an energy that we don't see. We see the absence of it when we're no longer here. But even that, then there's another level of life that's going on in a breaking down stage with not our personality present, let's say, or whatever you want to call it. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Our individual drop in the ocean of energy, cosmic consciousness is no longer inhabiting that vehicle. You can call it that, whatever. But the issues of Aquarius are life itself in that sense. And not just life of people, but everything. It has that energy in it. I mean, this is the mystic's understanding of what we call God, you know, and people think is a separate, like, person somewhere, you know, and it only interacts with a few people that it really likes. But the mystic has already gone beyond the form and seen that the energy that is life is really what it is. It's unnameable and unknowable as a distinct form. So here's Pluto. Now, I have been saying a lot of things lately, especially when it got around the time of, you know, changing clock time, which is a human thing to do. You know, the birds and the sun are not changing. They're just doing their thing. So humans like to change things, and they mess around with stuff, and it usually has negative consequences. I mean, they've even done the study on daylight savings time, and they've seen all the different consequences that happen. But, you know, we keep doing it because one of the reasons is the power, Pluto, that when humans are wielding it, you know, they want to wield it, so they have the power to make you change the clock time. So there you go, we'll change it. You know, this is a fascinating development that has, you know, really taken hold more and more and more. And when we had the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn, we were hoping to see a breakdown in some of that hierarchical thought that people had to get to the top of the mountain and be the powers that be and be higher than and better than and all of that. But so far, we haven't been able to see the actual dissolving of that, we've been seeing the resistance to it, to the dissolving of that, I should say. You know, the last grab, you know, to become the colonial power in the world kind of thing, you know. So we're really, you know, on the brink of so much, but we are just at the beginning. Now, how can we imagine Pluto now as we look at our very technological life? I mean, I've been having intermittent internet, and it's driving me mad. And I've been on the phone to my provider several times, and, you know, they've been saying it's fixed, but it isn't fixed. And finally, maybe they'll send somebody to look at those connections in the box outside. You know, it's a very interesting world now. You know, I used to live without a computer. Most of my life, I suppose, has been computer-free, electronics-free, but now, impossible, must have. How could I be doing this podcast for you? I couldn't. So, once Pluto gets into this realm, we can expect certain things to happen, just like we've been seeing books being banned. You know, we can see other things being taken over and controlled in terms of media, electronics, and things like that. We can see that might be something that comes through, but also we might see more power going to the people. The people saying, look, you know, we've had it with you. It's enough. I mean, it's not that easy to do, you know, the French Revolution being, you know, one of the surprisingly successful attempts to overthrow royals. You know, you could still do it with pitchforks and guns. You know, I mean, it wasn't, it's not really something that people could, I mean, you know, it's fascinating to me, though, that something that happened on a certain date, in a certain year, and was widely televised and discussed by people from both parties and in the United States, is suddenly being said to be not real. It didn't happen. And people are believing that, which is fascinating. So, in a sense, we are seeing what can be done, you know, the tremendous manipulation that can be done just by having one person make a broadcast saying something. If, you know, if the receivers are vulnerable to that voice. So that's a very interesting piece. Vulnerable to the air sign thoughts, and the voice is carried through the air to us, right? And it goes through electronic Aquarian devices. So this is something we must be aware of, because we have our own power of vision. Been talking about this for a while because of the Uranus and Taurus. Uranus rules Aquarius, right? And so at some point these two might be squaring. I haven't looked far enough in advance to see if they do, or if I'm thinking that I did look and Uranus scoots out into Gemini before Pluto gets high enough. That would be a good thing. I don't think we would really want that exact square to take place. But at any rate, I started talking about the power of our own vision, the power of our own thoughts. And so this is for the individual now, the lesson and the journey. Okay? So no matter what is going on in the outer world, no matter what's being carried in the waves of air that come to us in various forms through technologies or even just through the air, we are still individuals, Aquarius, and there may be a huge power going into that. You know how people have been standing up for things like, I am different than you, Aquarius, eccentric and unusual, but you've got to accept me because that's who I am. All right, that's a foreshadowing of something that will grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And what will the effects be? If anyone tells you, they can tell you what the effects are based on what they were the last time Pluto was in Aquarius, that isn't really accurate. And I could get into a lot of trouble for saying this, but the rest of the world was in a different state of consciousness then. The rest of the planets were in different signs then. There is never a moment in time that is the same as a moment before it. Even as I'm recording this, the moment in time changes. As you are listening, the moment in time changes. Learn the power of this and of your own vision, because there is nothing that is not subject to change. And we have got the power also with collective vision, with a lot of Plutos in a certain vision, to create. Right? I mean, there's a part of the Bible that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God said, let there be. All right, so we're not God, but what are they talking about? They're talking about the unseen realm of the mental level of air. So things can be created in that medium of thought and then saying it, which is the power of affirmation, if you believe your affirmation. So Pluto in Aquarius, okay, a lot. This is a deep subject because it's a deep planet. And it's in an advanced sign of the zodiac, the 11th out of 12. We're getting to the Piscean remembrance of the fact that we are part of the vast oneness. Well, we begin to observe that in Aquarius. Okay? So, can there be major changes? Can there be revolutions? Can there be major upheavals? Yes, there can. Yes, there can. But that is something that as individuals we must look at within the self. Maybe there are things we need to change about what we believe and what we think and what we vision for ourselves and for the world. The power that goes into Aquarius now is something that can also bring us forward with the healing through energy, which is the next step. It is the next step. The Piscean age, I believe, it was over already. People are saying Pluto in Aquarius is the thing that brings it, but I've seen it already. Once Uranus was discovered, which is the ruler of Aquarius, it's much more likely. We were already in the realm of electronics and, you know, everything like that. And there are already things that heal through energy vibration out there. But power may be going into it. And that can also mean big money can go into that as well. So, and who will take it? Who will use it? How will they use it? This is what we're going to have to find out. But we have our own choice. We have our own individual free will is Aquarius. So use it. Now, since it only goes to 0 degrees, people who are going to be affected by this transit are only going to be people who have maybe 0 to 1 or 2 degrees of a fixed sign or a position, an ascendant or nodes, or, you know, this is where you're going to be the first ones to get some taste of this Pluto transit. But as time goes on, and it is in 2024, that this will come in, because during the retrograde, by June 12th, I believe it is going back into Capricorn, where it remains. It goes direct at 27 Capricorn, and it isn't until January 21st, 22nd, before it goes into Aquarius. For, I believe, it's the long haul, although there's another retrograde into Capricorn in September of 2024. Goes direct in October of 2024 in Capricorn. And then November, late November near Thanksgiving, is when it goes in to Aquarius. And let's see if that next retrograde in 2025, nope, it only goes back to 1 degree. So you've got up and down, Aquarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Capricorn, and then finally Aquarius, okay? And so you get the taste of it, but only in the very beginning degrees at this point in time. I guess it moves very slowly. I mean, by 2029, you're only like at 7 and 8 degrees, okay? 2030, you're, you know, getting into the teens a bit, 2031. So you have planets, maybe, or positions or something that are in the other fixed signs, or Aquarius itself, and the other fixed signs being Taurus, Scorpio, and Leo. Right? So you're the ones that get some of this major power effect. And, you know, I was reading a lot for people who were affected by Pluto in Capricorn, particularly after it got to the higher position, to the higher degrees, because it was just, you know, doing its number on them, and it was very helpful for them to know what was happening, and to see what else in their chart was going on that might be supportive, or, you know, another feature of what was seeming to break down or be challenged intensely, right? So if you have those early, very early degrees of Aquarius, or unfortunately even the very late degrees of Capricorn, because it's going to come back in, it's a good time to have your chart looked at. And especially because, you know, you've got now, as we have this transit, Saturn in Pisces. So those are two, you know, major shifts that have taken place. And that changes where your challenges are, where your lessons are going to be. And of course, the Saturn in Pisces energy is going to retrograde also, but it will move forward a lot faster, and it will be still in Pisces in 2024 and 2025, but there will be a shift to Aries in 2025 as well. So Pisces will continue only up till, you know, that point. It will be relating with a retrograde back into Pisces. But eventually, it's early 2026 in the Pluto cycle of Aquarius when Saturn goes in. And that's a kind of like a hopeful experience, because Saturn is going to sextile from Aries to Pluto in Aquarius. So here we may find our first actual experience of something positive coming out of the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. Because, you know, they move on and they're still in relationship. They're still dancing. Okay. astrology is a very big subject. It really is. And there's so many things to know. Believe me. Been in it for a long time. So at any rate, if you are having it in a certain house, in your chart, of course, determined by your ascendant, and that will put the other signs on the rest of your houses, then, you know, where is that transit going to be? And what will that look like as it goes through that house? Yes. I mean, I've just had a shift of Pluto from one house to another. And, yeah. I'm aware of it, though, you see, and being aware of things again. As I say, if you know what's going on, it is so much easier to deal with it than if you are just at the effect of what's happening. The wave is just falling over you and you didn't see it coming. So, once again, I suggest a reading, and, you know, you can get one from me. And I think that's enough for you to absorb right now, but we'll be definitely talking about it as time marches on. We'll be talking about it again. But I'll say goodbye for now.